You're listening to the Deeply Graphic Design Cast, the show about all things design, from the creative side to the business side and all points in between. Follow the show on Twitter at Wes McDowell. Want the gang to answer your question on an upcoming episode? Send in your listener question to questions@thedeependesign.com or via Twitter using hashtag DGDC. Here are your hosts.
Wes McDowell in Chicago.
Mikkel Morrison in Seattle.
Nick Longo in Los Angeles.
All right, another Friday, another time to record. And this is one of our favorite episodes we get to do. We haven't done one in a while. We used to do them on the tens, like every 10
How long
episodes
has it been?
We do it.
Isn't
I don't know.
Isn't
I feel
this
like
a 10? I thought this was a 10.
No, we've missed one.
Ooh. Yeah, maybe 20 there. Then. It's been 20.
Yeah, it could be.
God,
could be
no
20.
Way has it been that long.
Well, we've had a lot of guests, and so it feels like it's gone quick maybe for that reason.
That could be
And we've had babies. I mean, it really makes time.
Look at her. Yeah.
We've had babies. Yeah. Baby.
Oh, my gosh.
Nick and I are just perpetually single.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. This schedule feels like time I had more than by. One, but I won't complain about that right now.
How's it going with – what's? Sorry, I forgot – forgot her name already.
It's okay. Val Ray. And
I don't think I ever knew that.
I actually forgot to share her name last episode. So I've gotten these really cute messages from listeners. What's her name, please?
Yeah. Name, please. I love that. But what is Val Ray from or mean?
Val Ray. V-E-L-R-A-I. And it's... Nice. We wanted the sound Ray to go in there, and Jason wasn't keen on R-A-E or R-A-Y.
Yeah.
So, and we played around with Rayel, so we just swapped it because it wasn't flowing right with her middle name. So anyway, we might have tried too hard and got a little too clever. I don't know.
Yeah. That's great.
I mean, it could have been like Norma Ray, but you want it a different way. It's
fine. Imagine the Halloween costume with her raising the sign up.
I know.
No more references our millennial listeners will not understand.
Look it up.
Yeah, she's now officially a month old, so we're used to saying it, and it feels like it suits her now, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
She looks like a Velray. It's really, really awesome.
It's a word that you like think you know, but you don't. Like, it's not too odd that you're like, what is that?
I'm so glad you said that. We didn't want that. Yeah, we didn't want that.
That's great. So. Yeah. Cool.
And it's a new name, never heard before. The worst is when you get someone who's got just a different spelling on a common name.
Oh, I know. Yeah, those are the best.
That happens
just, like,
a lot.
Correcting their spelling their entire life.
That happens a lot. Yeah. I feel like. Yeah,
have you locked up her Instagram account yet? And Twitter.
That's the important stuff.
And URL. Yeah, exactly. Come on. Come on,
Mikkel. We had family just visit, and she's my stepdaughter-in-law. She says, I really need to initiate this right away because somebody's going to take it. And she's got a whole username, you know, like a profile panned out for Instagram for her son. That's 8 months. I mean, some parents are...
They probably do
for the son, not for Velray.
For her son. Okay. That's a baby as well.
I was gonna say, because if it was for Velray, and like, so God forbid they get a divorce, she's gonna squat on that username.
Oh, that's true. That'd be trouble. That'd be trouble. Yeah.
Now that's the big gift you get at the 1 year birthday is the URL.
Oh my gosh.
Happy birthday.
Out of control.
Or just do it at the reveal party now, you know? That's the hip thing
parties.
To do.
It used to be like your grandma would give you the savings bonds every year for your birthday, and you'd have the when you're 18 you get those. Now it's just
you get a GoDaddy account.
Oh my gosh.
Or whatever it's going to be by then. It'll all be
good deal.
Implants in our brains and stuff. We'll all be living in the computer at that point.
Yeah, pretty much.
But but anyway, anything new in you guys' lives? Anything keeping you creative or otherwise?
You know, I joined a really cool Slack channel that a friend of mine put together that's a bunch of designers. And it's really neat. Like, I'm so new to Slack, and I've been using it a little bit here and there with some clients. But what's kind of nice, too, is like these forum ideas to get the word out or show work that you don't want to post on Twitter or Instagram just yet to get some feedback on. But it's been a cool little thing of pushing stuff out there to get response from other designers. And so it just made me think how much of that was missing out there, like this kind of cool idea. And Slack seems like a fun little platform to place it on, you know? So we've been having a ball there. It's kind of neat.
Really,
that's
cool.
Awesome. I want to figure out how to use Slack in a business. Like, because I used to do a lot of work for a company. Mm-hmm. Mikkel, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Where there was a Slack channel, but I never used it for anything other than that. Like, it feels like it'd be cool for...
Yeah.
Good for
you should just initiate it. It's so useful. It's awesome. Mm-hmm.
But I guess people are using it more as like you can use it as a kind of a private version of social media stuff that keeps it all within a group or an organization or a team, which is neat. And it plays very similar to a Twitter feed, but it's all based on hashtags and you adding at people specifically if you need work from them or whatever. So
yeah, I think it's kind of fun. But I've never utilized it for social media purposes. That feels a little odd, but it can be utilized for project management.
Like imagine if you had a private Twitter that was only the people that you've invited. It works in that same way where it's like things are listed based on categories and channels, I guess, because like channels are a great
channels.
Way you can kind of
Slack
separate
is channel
everything.
Heavy. Yeah.
But it's interesting that it has learned from social media that hashtags and at signs are used throughout the platform as a way of connecting and directing. It's just goes to show that we're so used to
that's
the way
really
social
interesting because the whole the it's all locked down. It's private. The channels are extremely private. So I'm surprised that it syncs with social media channels of sorts.
It doesn't. I'm just saying it uses the same way of finding. So if I need to find something in a channel, you find it by putting hashtag.
I haven't found that to be the case with a hashtag, but definitely the at symbol.
Yeah.
For all the users.
Pretty cool. So I'm new. I'm still a newbie. But
I tell people I'm a Slack whore. I use it every day.
I thought you were a Trello whore.
Are you cheating on Slack?
Have I said that about Trello?
I thought so. Yeah.
Trello absolutely.
A few times.
But the thing that's nice about Slack is that it organizes better to me than email. And you don't have all these attachments bogging down your email system. Slack is fabulous.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Nice. Well, I just want to use Slack for like my friend group because what we've got this big like group text chain, you know?
Yeah.
Where if like, let's say I want to put together like, hey, who wants to go to this movie tomorrow night? Then my one friend, Dan, will always be like, oh, did you see that thing on Instagram? Like he will derail the conversation away from plans anyone's trying to make. Like I just want a different, like set up a room for
there you go
your distractions, Dan.
And maybe he's not. Gosh. Yeah. You have your own channel.
That's funny.
Yeah. The Dan channel when it goes off tangents.
Yeah. Goes off the rails.
Give it a try and report back.
Rooms for different sets of plans. You know.
Yeah.
Am I reaching for the stars here?
Yes.
Okay, so before we get to the good stuff, which are the listener questions, and spoiler alert, they're all audio today.
Damn.
So that's awesome.
You guys came through.
I love it.
Yeah, you came through in a big way for us today. Speaking of coming through in a big way, Skillshare, baby. We love Skillshare. They come through for me every time I need them, whenever I want to learn something new, whether it be just learning a quick little thing that I need to know to get me through a task or, you know, to learn a whole new system, like learning Elementor, learning, you know, XD or whatever.
Yeah.
They've got everything covered from creative to the business, which let's face it, it's, you know, we're running creative businesses here and most of us. So that's all necessary.
Yeah.
So basically Skillshare is an online learning community for creators like us. And they've got more than 25,000 classes in design, business, and more. You're going to discover countless ways to fuel your curiosity, creativity, and career. So take classes in all that good stuff and more. And if you're looking to discover a new passion, start a side hustle, or gain new professional skills, Skillshare is there to keep you learning and thriving. I know they're always there for me. So I've found a few things here that look pretty interesting to me. If this loads up, here we go. Got it. So we've got, you know, here's just like a random sampling. We've got mastering logo design. We've got dynamic brand identity. Logo type masterclass with Jessica Heesh.
Yes.
Introduction to book cover design. There's all, I mean, basically
cool.
They get
That's
very
cool.
granular.
Yeah.
Anything you need to
I love
know
the
how to do.
Specifics. Yeah.
Like if you're making a podcast cover art, there's going to be a class for that. So, you know,
it's all an the eight bases. Week, it's an 8-week course, so be careful.
Yeah, exactly. No, but most of these are like, they go from like long and advanced and like kind of, I wouldn't say drawn out, but very expansive.
They're perfectly sized.
Some
really.
Are like yeah. a half hour. You just get in and learn something. So yeah. join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer just for our listeners. You can get 2 months of Skillshare absolutely for free. That's right. Skillshare is offering our listeners 2 months of unlimited access to those 25,000 classes for free. To sign up, go to skillshare.com/deepend. Again, go to skillshare.com/deepend to start your 2 months now. That's skillshare.com/deepend. All righty then.
Nice.
Okay, so we've got 5 audio questions, and I did put out a call on the old Instagrammers to get some last-minute stragglers, and we'll see if anyone comes through. Maybe not. Maybe our Instagram following is not as robust as we once thought. We'll just have to see. We'll see if...
I would like to brag. We're up to 1174. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
And every time I log on, you guys keep... I see a whole list of new followers. So I'm following you. We're trying to follow you back.
That's
and
cool.
One girl gave us a nice little shout out because she saw that we followed her back and she posted it as a post, which I thought was... really, really cool.
Aww. What's her name? Give her a shout out.
I'm looking for it right now. We'll have it in a second. All right. So start
okay,
with the question.
While Nick is looking for that, let's go ahead and roll our first audio question from Ellen.
Hi there. My name is Ellen, and I have a question. My question is, how would y'all go about handling a situation where you've presented some initial logo designs to a client, and then the client comes back with their own drawing describing something that's different from what you proposed and asking for you to just mock that up. How do you guide the design direction? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ellen, so much for that question. I think we can all relate to this one. We've all had, you know, that client who just thinks he's an artist and thinks you're just kind of the hands...
Yeah,
that are going
no doubt.
To bring his vision to life. And I think the first thing here is it's about positioning yourself, right?
Yeah.
If you position yourself as, and I hate to say, quote, just a designer, but that there is something in that that basically just says, I'm going to, and a lot of people on their websites will use language like, I will bring your vision to life or something like that. I hope I mean
I said you, that but I've said that before. That's really bad.
Yeah.
You've learned. You're right. That's an interesting I didn't think that's kind of a catchphrase we all kind of use at one point, but it's you got to flip that story.
Yeah. And this is it becomes really important in that discovery phase when you're asking your series of questions to really put that expectation out there that you are going to take these answers. And you're not really looking for a whole lot of visual ideas from the client unless you are, you know, and sometimes I do like to say, is there anything, any preconceived notions that you have that you think you would like to see here? I won't
Perfect
necessarily incorporate them, but I want to know if you have something in your brain that I should be thinking about.
Yeah.
And I may veto it. You know, I'm not like my word goes, but I would just say like, it's my job to take what we've got here and come up with something that's going to really resonate with
your audience. And be your creative consultant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I love
all,
these questions because it validates what we all go through. You know, so many freelancers are in their cave and working the grind and trying to satisfy request after request. And one, that's the beauty of this podcasts and other podcasts to, validate experiences that we're all having. But this is relevant to another question that somebody else had too, which is extremely, along the same lines that we're all going through this. It's not, you can call the shots. You can put your foot down and say, no, this, like, here you go, you're welcome. No, not that brutal, but you yeah. can you can say, and you know, I know this creates a little bit more work, but provide all the explanation. You've done the research, you've done the math with respect to the industry, and you can share all the reasonings behind your concepts that you know, that verify that your design ought to be considered. Mm-hmm. And then if it goes downhill, yeah. then it's telling and it goes downhill and you can collect your money and say goodbye. That's what I think.
Yeah.
That might sound and a little too harsh.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on where you're coming from with it. A lot of times when this has happened to me, I'll explain the best I can of why I did what I did. And mm-hmm. if they still are like, yeah, but draw what's on the napkin. Sometimes yeah. I'll just do it and say, okay, sometimes it's almost freeing and I can say, good, I can stop yeah. thinking about this now.
Yeah, that's true. I
and
get that.
And then we'll draw it out and then we'll call it a day and I'll collect yeah. my paycheck.
Yeah.
You know,
but also keep
like
in mind,
out,
like when you put down your explanation for why you did what you rendered, it shouldn't be an approach that's defensive, right?
No.
It should be informing. Informing with
when you present it
with respect to your
yeah well, I yeah. think a lot of people don't
exactly
I think a lot of people still don't present. I think a lot of people will mail off the PDF.
No
yeah.
just here you go,
which is
yeah
unfortunate yeah. and not generally the way we recommend doing it. And I think that at the end of the question, Ellen did ask for tips of how we present logos and that kind of thing to really make the most of it. Mm-hmm. And we have talked in the past about what tends to work a little better is providing those mock-ups. You know, there's so many of those free templates yeah. out there where you can take your logo and have it just applied to, it basically looks like a realistic mock-up on a business card or on a sign or anything like that.
Yeah.
Or something yeah. Appropriate yeah. to the application
has
of that
to be
company.
Appropriate.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I've been loving that idea, because it does kind of show it in a light that is mm-hmm. so different from just flat, where
right.
I feel like they can really pick it apart.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I agree.
And it almost does feel like idea. Cheating when I would do it, but it does tend to get a better
sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it is basically like unfair advantage almost. But what I would do is like, I would, and I don't even do logos anymore, but when I did, I would give them it would basically be a PDF with one concept per page. The top part would be just the logo on white just by itself, and the bottom half of the page would be that mock-up
yeah.
so they could see.
Yes.
It just went
yeah.
over much better that way.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. I think the whole evolution of things we've shared over the past and how we've all changed our process has eliminated this problem almost completely for me. I think if you really do your work and talk to them up front, I love your disclaimer, Wes, of saying, is there anything at the very beginning we need to know that you feel needs to be a part of this logo because of heritage or something or family, let's say it. Great. Mm-hmm. Get it out now. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give them a brand board and you really show them your discovery and your personas and your archetypes, I feel that narrows it down so much that even when you show them examples of logos that are going to be in the zone of where you want to go, that gets them, that holds their hand a little bit and they go, oh yes, we're going to be very heritage looking and it's going to look old fashioned and it's going to have this and this could possibly be an icon. Then you go and design, and when you show it to them, they are completely excited because they've been a part of it. They're not going to say like, pull out a napkin and be like, I want this, because you've just romanced them in a way that I feel like, one, they love because you've taken them through the process, but then they're realizing this is better for the company. This is better for the consumer. Get to that level. And trust me, I think that part kind of goes away. I've changed people's minds 180 by going through that process. And when they see the two, and I'm really going down to like two or three final concepts at the concept stage. And that has eliminated a lot of that problem. So just evolve your process, get more upfront, and you don't have this surprise, you know, that's mm-hmm. kind of my thought.
Yeah. It's a good way to think of it. And and you will run into those clients who are not, won't budge.
Yeah.
And I find when that's happened to me, it's mostly been people who are just a little too, they personalize their own business too much.
Their preference plays too much of a role.
Yeah.
And that's horrible.
And yeah. Some people are just, hate to say it, but just a little kind of crazy. Like that cupcake lady, this famous story that I talked about. Like, it literally, like, I literally traced, like, vectorized her scribbled drawing on a napkin because it turns out that's exactly what she wanted. It looked like shit. I cannot even tell you, but she loved it. And I'm like, okay, you're crazy.
I think changing the narrative you nailed it too, because I think it's also about someone being too precious and they won't bend or understand what you're doing. But like you said too at the very beginning, making your image come to life, that is such the wrong thing to say, because what you're going to say is, I'm going to give you the best solution for your client and customer and your business. That's what you're doing. That's what you're hired for. And if you change that at the very beginning, chances are they're not going to be, going to look at you as more as the authoritative, and they won't slide in that, you know, scrappy bird that they drew on a napkin and say, let's go this route. Sorry. Yeah. You know, knowing that we also now say, we all go like, no one just does I don't want to just do a logo for someone anymore. That's beyond our scope. I want to do the whole package. So if they're going to be that bad with the logo, I'll probably just kill the job if they would ever say something like that now, because it's going to be that way the rest of the road. So find the next person, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Evolve.
Yeah, exactly. And that is really, keep in mind those initial conversations and the language you use on your website and everything, to where you're not just referring to yourself as someone who makes pretty things or a designer. You really, in order to elevate yourself and make better money and get better clients, you really do have to think of it more holistically in terms of you're helping businesses grow professionally through design, not just here's a logo, right?
Let's make that homework number one. Everyone look at their website.
Change the language.
Change the language, man. It starts there. First impression.
Change the conversation.
And our lovely listener was Brittany Gaddis. I'm probably killing that last name.
Nice.
But she was our lovely friend who was very happy that we followed her. So, hello.
We're happy to be following.
Thanks
you,
for
Brittany.
Joining.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sweet.
All right, cool. So I think we've answered that one. So it's time to move on to the next one. And this one is from a friend of the show, Ryan Wheaton. So let's go ahead and take a listen to that clip.
Hey, crew. Ryan Wheaton here, back at you with another listener question. I'd love to hear more about how you all handle revisions. I feel like it's not uncommon for my projects to get a bit wild with the revision process. I have a good handle on the number of revision rounds, but what I do inside of each revision can get a bit unruly. My discovery process feels good, and I get a good feeling for what the client wants. It's after I present the first set of design concepts where I feel like things can get a bit off the rails. Even if I hit the overall ideas and the aesthetic that the client wants, there can still be so many design tweaks made. I know, like, in an ideal world, like, each round of revisions refines and reduces designs from your first concepts. Sometimes, for me, it can almost be like the first round of design concepts becomes a starting point. Then clients can get a bunch of ideas to try, lots of refinements, and my second round can be like 6, 7, or 8 plus variations on ideas. I love to hear how you handle the initial design concept presentation, and I guess more specifically, the revision process. Have you discovered any great ways to smoothly navigate clients through projects that helps reduce that chaos? Looking forward to hearing your thoughts. Cheers.
All right. Thank you so much, Ryan. We love getting questions from you. So this is another one that I think we can all relate to this.
Oh God! Yeah, totally. It's different every time. Regardless,
this is
the one hurdle that, like, I think every level of process and changing in how we've worked, I still get this all the time. Like, and then on the next client sees one logo and goes, "Great, all right, let's roll." And you're like, "No revisions? Yeah. Oh my God!" Yeah. Like, so I think a lot of this, the answer to this question is really like, it's, you got to go with the flow of who that client is. And once you've identified they're that way, I think too, just make sure you are set up in that contract that revisions and rounds, there's a difference between revisions and going backwards and starting again, right?
Yes.
Like, I say, if none of the initial concepts...
It's not to say this doesn't happen. This totally happens. This is running.
Oh, yeah.
This is about part of running a business, for sure.
But think about, like, I think I have a clause that says if one of the initial concepts is not taken to the next step and it doesn't evolve from there, and we go backwards, well, there's additional payment. I mean, there's more hours involved at that point.
Yeah, that's really good to include.
That's a really good thing to put in there.
Yeah, because and obviously too, and there's a whole other thing that's, you know what, I think another thing to say too is, like, regardless of what even happens, you using this or not, you know, you still pay for the process. So it's the same idea going back to that idea. And I find too, sometimes when more money dollar signs are showing up, magically they fall in love with something. Yeah. So
sure,
you know, right? But totally. Like, I think he makes a good point in saying too that sometimes that first round is a little bit of a throwaway and it's just a feeler. So like I said in the previous question, really spend time on a brand board that shows logos that are of a specific style and design trend or feel that you want to approach, because I think sometimes too that gets them in a headspace where they're going to love your first round a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause you're right. Sometimes it is like, the last thing you want to do is just throw shit out there and hope something sticks with them.
That's why I always ask for those samples, or I provide samples and say, point to that you think that you like for yourself and for your brand.
Or direct it if you feel confident and say, like, I think it should be of this, or give them two brand boards, one that is specific in one way and one that maybe have a little twist. Still based on all your discovery, you know? But damn, yeah, this is still, it's still an issue, man. I guess everyone's different because some people are very picky and want to be involved in all those, even if it's those tiny, tiny, tiny little changes that you're like, oh my God.
Well, that's really what kills me too, like, you know, is because clients will always, whether it's a website or a logo or anything, you know, they'll give me ideas of, even, let's just say in the realm of websites, you know, I'll say, bring three websites to this last meeting that you like for look and feel and talk about, like, about them. And they'll show me some websites, and usually they're not the best looking websites. They'll show them to me, and then if I show in the end, and they feel like, and they act like it's worse than these bad websites that they showed me, like, that there's a problem there, because what it shows me is they're not picking apart other people's websites, but their own website, they are going to pull it apart. And they're going to think that everyone else is pulling it apart in the same way they are. This shows, like, people are just very close to their own business.
Hell yeah.
You know, and they look at it much closer.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess too, it's like maybe reviewing each time you do a job and seeing where those hiccups were and refining it a little bit. So hopefully the next one, because like we said too, like, it depends on who you get and who your point person is on that client. Because I've seen it in the same company. One person is like, that's great, we're in love with it. And then someone else chimes in and starts being picky. So you're like, damn, you want to blame it on yourself and be like, I didn't do this right. But this is that one area that I just think you've just got to be as prepared as you can with it. But cover yourself in the contract to make sure that if it gets crazy and overwhelmingly beyond off of what your original concept was, you're going. That means you're going back to stage one. So does the price. I think and then figure out if it's worth it at a certain point. Like, you know, how many of these are you doing? You know, but I can't get rid of them.
Yeah, and I love that. I love that clause that says if we iterate on one of these cons forward, if you basically say board, then that adds in another revision round. I think that's brilliant. And I think it would put people on task.
Yeah.
And force them to kind of pick a lane.
Yeah, exactly. But show that you're going to do all the work it takes, that first round is going to be successful. Like, going back to question one, and these go really hand in hand, make sure you're infusing all that upfront stuff. So guess what? You have a better chance of nailing it in that first round. And maybe all you're doing is tweaking and adjusting it to everyone's liking. And now you're done, you know?
Yeah, that would be ideal. So what do you guys do in terms of, let's say you present five concepts to a client and they kind of, let's say two or three of them. Do you iterate on two or three of them, or do you say or force them to no, pick one and we'll go with that one?
I force the connection somehow. Like, I try to tell them, if we go continue down this route, you're going to have I've gone back and I've shown them slides that I've presented in the past where it was exactly that. It was, if we went with option A but changed it in six different colors, here's how it would look like. Then here's how it would look if they're all lowercase. Then here's how it would look if it was sans serif. Because you're like, wait a minute, we're Frankensteining this. And I don't think that's the, again, going back to like, if it's a heritage thing, guess what? It's probably going to be a serif font. So I'm going to say going to a sans serif font on this is against the brand and probably not worth it. So let's narrow it down to one, and let's, what's the three options we're going to do? Guide them. You got to speak up at that point, I think. Otherwise, you're going to let them run all over you. Mikkel, you feel the same?
Yeah, I do feel the same as you. And I've tried to get into the habit of that excitement to start that response. Like, so glad, so pleased that you're pleased.
Yes.
You know, that, you know, there's a beauty to not being able to decide because they're loving it. And you know what? Sometimes if they reply really quickly, I'll be like, take the weekend, have this sit with you.
Totally.
Because it could be that you'll want to show your husband or your best friend, and you'll have a better idea with the direction that you want to move forward with come Monday.
Yeah.
And you know that you'll get the email at 6 a.m. on Monday. Like, they're just.
Yeah. I do say that too, but then sometimes I'm so afraid. Sometimes I'll be like, really? You like that one? All right, cool. We're going with it. Lock it up.
Make sure you get Peggy from accounting sign off on it as well.
Yeah. Screw Peggy. Yeah. Peggy don't see this anymore.
She has opinions.
That's number one on my contract. Peggy's out of this whole conversation.
I'll do that positive approach in my response. And then from there, I'll share why it's best to, you know, move forward with, you know, iterations to two concepts at most. Mm-hmm. Ideally, it's just one. And I'll say it's just fine if you want to marry a couple for the next iteration to see, you know, if you're undecided, you love the type of option two, but you're loving the mark design emblem of, you know, the first concept. Let me show you how that looks. And then, there's a way to make the narrow down process under, you know, at your driver wheel far more than theirs.
Just a matter of talking. Because I think a lot of designers, especially newer ones, they can kind of clam up at that point and be like, go into people pleasing mode.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than let's guide this conversation and steer the ship in a direction, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I look back at that table and I had like, one A through F, and then went all the way down to like 10 A through F. And I was like, I've just given them like 100 options. I was like, no, I'm ridiculous.
That's a recipe for them choosing nothing, because it's really hard to do that.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, also, it can be that way.
Going back to the very beginning, streamline even just your original comps. I think what I've learned too is holding back in less is more. Letting brands breathe a little bit. The logo doesn't have to say it all. And I think if you trying to do all that, it allows for more critique, right? But if you're streamlining it and making it a much more beautiful, simple logo and letting the rest of the brand elements become things that you can play with down the road, your logo is a lot more streamlined and is up for less discussion, I think, too. That's another way to think about it.
It's true. All right, cool. Ryan, thanks for sending that in. Feel free to send in another one at any point.
Thanks, Ryan.
So the next one we've got is from Kieran. So let's go ahead and listen to that question.
G'day, guys. My name's Kieran. I'm a graphic designer from North Queensland in Australia. I work for a print house that focuses mainly on business cards, but does all sorts of other printing paraphernalia. Now, I'm the main designer for the entire business, but my question is, lately I've been feeling much more like just a production artist, which is understandable given the industry. However, the bosses say that they want to grow the graphic design section of the business, and I'm keen to develop my skills and grow its reputation and overall build that reputation of the business. But however, by my own work focusing on graphic design and developing its quality as an issue, but B is my bosses, as much as they say that that's what they want to do, I get the feeling they see more the dollar symbols more than anything, and they don't really understand what it is I do. So I'm looking to A, get advice on how to develop the graphic design as a reputation outside of the business, but also if you've ever had bosses who seem to be limiting you. Now, I'm keen to eventually go as a freelance designer, but I'm not ready yet. I'm still looking at wanting to build this business that I work for much, much further, and I would appreciate your advice on it. Thanks, guys, and love listening to the podcast, and keep up the good work. Cheers.
All right. Thanks for sending that in, Kieran. We can probably all relate to this one as well. We've all been in those jobs where we feel like we're not really getting a lot of creative tasks. Totally. So, yeah. So what do you guys think? So the question basically is how to get more design responsibility at work, and then how to get a better reputation as a designer, independently of work, because maybe he wants to start his own thing or go somewhere else.
I wonder if he should first reevaluate if there is a future there, right? Like, is it worth taking the time to sit down with the bosses and say, I want to be this, and maybe our company should be more of this, and I'm dedicated, if we have some movement here, this would be great. If that's the case, then put in a plan to say, what are our goals? How do we get there? But if they are just all about the bottom line and they're not helping you expand and be a better designer, find something else. I don't know. Like, I don't know how bad the job market or good the job market is where you are in Queensland, but holy crap. Like, the fact that you're thinking of this means you want more. So,
and I mean,
and you know what? It's so funny. We find ourselves in these pickles, and the last thing that we think to do is to call a meeting with, directly with the boss or the bosses.
Totally.
And have a sit down and say, here's where I'm at. And I need more.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, it's amazing what can happen if you open yourself up.
Some people have been really surprised, and someone like a boss like that has turned around immediately and went like, oh, gosh, we're so lucky to have someone like you that's thinking of that. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Then others are just like, no, man, just keep working. So, like, find out where they are. And if it's worth it, try. All you have to do is sit down, put some goals together. Do we want new clients? Does my role change? What can I be at in a year? Because I'm in it. I want to stay in this. Like, this is great. If that doesn't happen, man, oh, God, take this enthusiasm elsewhere.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be an ultimatum talk. It can be really positive.
No, lay it down on the line.
Make them choose today. Either they go or I go. This is a tough one, because you have to ask yourself and kind of feel it out. Company, do they need really creative design, or is it something where they already have a business model that's working for them? And, because you said they're only interested in money, but like, I'm not to sound that way, but I mean, businesses are in business to make money. So if they're going to make less money by paying more for design, then maybe it's not in their best interest, or discovered that, if we take more time on designing this and this and this, we could actually get more business. And it would be a matter of explaining it to them in that way, I think. But
yeah.
It sounds like
it's all about the benefit of them.
Yeah. I feel like you might have a hard time changing the whole company to suit your needs as a designer. So if it's not really in the best interest of the company, what I might tell you to do is start really beefing up your portfolio on the side and
freelancing,
and then with an eye toward the door once you get something else lined up, or start your own freelance, right?
Yeah.
Well, he did mention he has that ultimate goal in mind, but he's not ready yet. He's venturing out in a year or two. And that's another reason why I love this question, is because hopefully this isn't getting off too far off on tangent. I have heard others describe our show specifically for those that are ready to launch their own business, and that's not the case. Anybody in the creative industry that is working, you know, in-house,
they share the same
for an organization. You're running your own gig at in that organization as well.
Yeah,
you are. Mm-hmm. You're in charge of you. There, you know, you're not doing all the FreshBooks administrative stuff like we are, but there's something to be said about that. We're all together within this creative community working towards the same goal, whether it's running mm-hmm. your own official business or within a creative agency or an ad agency.
Very small firm. Yeah, sounds like he's at a startup. Pretty small one. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I got the feeling that he is as well.
That's why I think he could make the he could put the initiative out there to say, if the company wants to get here, I'm all in and let's do it. And it's all about
he
the
really
benefit
wants
of the
to
company.
Support that.
Yeah,
he's yeah. he's really his question was really heartfelt. I felt like
mm-hmm. I think they're really lucky to have you, Kira.
Yeah, I do as well. It's just a matter of if they agree and if they, you know, how cool totally. They are. I remember one of my last jobs I had in an actual place where I would go there and work every day, you know, I would always ask for more design responsibilities and they didn't care. Mm-hmm. Like they were not there to please my, you know, my life fulfillment
your
as a designer.
To be better and
they didn't
grow.
Care. Like every now and then they'd throw me a bone, but then they would still always look at me as the junior designer, you know, like, Wes, like, we'll give you something, but we probably won't really use it. So it's, sometimes it's hard and it's hard to get people to bend to your will. So that's why you have to.
I've had a few students who have gotten into positions like this, very junior level, but they've taken that enthusiasm that they still had from recently being in school. And they'll tell me, they're like, this place has no process, whatever. And I'm like, try to squeeze it in. Give the boss a tip or two. Like this could happen. And guess what? They've made a big difference. They've gotten in there and all of a sudden kind of like, sometimes just fresh blood, regardless of who you are and what your role in industry you're in, helps any small company that hasn't had it in a while. So I think it's worth a shot to see because, again, it's they're not doing it just because you want it. They're going to do it because they want to get – if they're all about money and you can help them grow that, who would say no, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Let us know what happens.
Positioning
man.
It in that their best right. interest and see if they take the bait. And if not, then it might be time to –
boom.
Start slowly, like I say, building up your portfolio and looking for other options. But don't quit your job until
we didn't say that.
You know, until you have something else lined up.
But Wes said, "Yeah." No, I'm just kidding. Good question, though.
Worst,
man. Good luck.
Yeah, really good ever. Question.
Yeah, hope good luck with that. All right, so before we get to the next ones, let's go ahead and give a little love to FreshBooks because we love FreshBooks. Speaking of. You know, I feel sorry for the ones who don't get to use FreshBooks. Not have
it's
to
a blessing.
Get to use. Yeah, they make invoicing a pleasure. We laugh, but they really do. I mean, it's as much of a pleasure as invoicing could ever possibly be. FreshBooks has cracked that code. They make it really easy. They make it almost, you know, fun from a design standpoint because your invoices look really nice and they don't have that homemade look that you get when you just download the stupid forms from Google and it's like an old spreadsheet looking thing. Those look terrible. FreshBooks is the opposite of that. They look really professional and branded. They use your logo and you look like a pro when you're not invoicing people with like PayPal and stuff. You know, it looks, you look like a real company at that point. And they've got the cool thing about late payment reminders and they'll basically reach out to your clients who haven't paid yet and say, how about a little something for the effort, you know? And they've got multi-currency invoicing. So if you
I'm all in those late payment things now, baby. I've been pushing that envelope. It's so good. It has trained them. They're all starting to pay on time.
Yeah.
Thank you, FreshBooks.
Time to pay the fiddler.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
And their support is great as well. Mikkel calls them every day and they always answer her call. They may even answer the phone and say, "Yes, Mikkel, what can I do for you?" And
they're so in line. They're like, "Mikkel, we've already fixed the problem." Yeah.
But
didn't we close this item?
But we've worked out a deal with them to get a 30-day unrestricted free trial for our listeners. So go to freshbooks.com/deeplygraphic and enter Deeply Graphic Design in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Again, 30 free days. Go to freshbooks.com/deeplygraphic and enter Deeply Graphic Design in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And I guarantee you, you're not gonna get rid of it once you've got it. All right. So moving right along, we've got a few more questions and possibly some last minute straggler questions. This first one is from Chris Porter. So let's go ahead and take a listen.
What's up, y'all? This is Chris Porter from Creative Punch in Memphis, Tennessee. Huge fan of your show, your work, and your content. I recently went full-time into freelance as of last November, but I've been doing freelance design and branding and videography for a few years now. My question for y'all is this. I'm always trying to test my limits, like learning new skills and trying new things. And one thing that I've been wanting to do is learn more illustration work, like straight illustration. A lot of my friends and freelancers and colleagues have, you know, products like Procreate and iPads to do them on, and always know that, like, there are also these huge conferences and classes around the country that I could try to take and sign up for and learn those skills in large groups or from the pros. So my question is, what would be a better investment money-wise, buying an iPad and then loading up with all the programs and et cetera, or going to conferences and whatnot to learn from experts and then stick with my laptop instead of using the stylus like I see a lot of people do? Anyway, thanks. Your show has been irreplaceable for me since I went solo. If you're ever in Memphis, drinks and barbecue on me. Thanks.
All right, Chris, thanks so much for that. And I will take you up on that offer for the...
I know.
Yeah.
I, Memphis, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll Memphis.
Come pay
I
you a visit.
I might be out there soon. Yeah.
All right, so wants to learn illustration. What do you guys think about? This is kind of out of my realm. I do not fancy myself any kind of an artist or illustrator.
I know why he's being enticed, because like a lot of people are really... I've seen some students killing it on Procreate.
No doubt. There's so many special guests on. Do you guys listen to the Dribble podcast?
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It feels like there's a lot of special guests that speak to this specifically, and they're traveling the world and they're just with their little tablet that has.
Showing them off. Yeah.
Yeah. That has the capacity of the iMac that I'm on right now. I mean,
I know.
It's crazy.
I think he's got to think about it like it's basically a money issue, and like, which one do you go with? What do you bank on? If he gets the iPad Pro and spends the money on it, obviously he won't have the money to go to these skill shares and these spots, these areas where people are going to share their talent. If he goes to the conferences and sees these people and gets one-on-one with them, he's going to be doing it on his laptop, which I don't think is that much of a, I think that's the stronger case when it comes to where to put your money right now. Then get a few jobs, get a few gigs that are new in the illustration, and buy the iPad. You know, I think because it's not necessary right now. But if he's getting into this new, he should learn from the best. I think it's as much as we promote Skillshare and learning from people and the people like we bring on the show. I know I would do that because I'm not inherently a great illustrator. So I would probably do better by learning from people and showing me how they've gotten good and how they've sharpened their skills with that. Get a $50 tablet for your computer and mess around there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The iPad and
by tablet, you're talking about like a Wacom kind of thing.
Yeah, like I mean, like I got like this little guy.
Yeah.
It was like $59, and it's great to have whenever I have to do anything by hand on Photoshop or whatever. But I used a teacher discount and a trade-in, and I got the very, very smallest iPad that takes the pencil.
Yeah.
It was only like three something, not 1,000, which like the pro goes.
Why don't you and go ahead and give Chris your teacher code so he can.
There you go. Oh, no, it's only like 50, but it was only like $50. It ain't, trust me, it wasn't much. But it was the trade-in. Actually, Apple's trade-in now is really a great thing. I gave them my old like Air 2, and I got like $150 for it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's. And so anyways, I mean, like I'm trying as best as I can. I've just did my first project where I did the entire packaging all by hand. I did everything on Procreate and uploaded all the type, all the illustrations. And I, cause I was like, I just wanted to challenge myself and do it. But I think with him, go to these things and learn, because these people like, you know, Brad Woodard, who we had on from Brave the Woods, and John Contino, and all these people that do amazing work on Procreate now, and I'm sure he has a list of them. Learn from them, man. That's where I'd spend my money. What do you think?
So I can't speak to the tablet. I really want to get into that. I mean, if there's success there, and I think that it would be the convenience of it is something to speak to.
Yeah.
One. But
a hefty price, though. It's a hefty price.
How much are we talking about?
That's what I hear. Like, but you're putting that hefty price into. It'd be interesting to see what you can actually replace. And how do you test that? You know, you have to go through the expense, of course. But the last Adobe Max really got me enticed about this. You know,
yeah.
It was kind of the big trend there. But
yeah, they were really pushing everything on like the tablets and on the phones.
Definitely.
Like, yeah, with Photoshop coming out in October.
Yeah,
and then whenever we go, I always feel like it's an update, like treating it like an update for iOS. You know, wait till things simmer down. Is it really what they, you know, is it really as big as what they, you know, promote at Adobe Max? Because it's just also fresh, you know, when we go.
Of course, yeah.
And I don't doubt Adobe. I'm not saying. But I always wonder about giving it a little bit of a trial period to start with. But it's, there's all these successful people out there that are having, you know.
Yeah.
Most of the advantages.
Most of these artists will tell you, too, it's not the iPad Pro that's making it a success.
No.
It's your talent and your actual drawing ability.
Yeah.
It also speaks to Procreate itself.
That was going to be my advice to say, you know, if you're writing in, Chris, so we can give you a green light to go ahead and get the iPad, then we will definitely give you that green light. But, and this is like really boring advice that I'm about to give you, but yeah, what they just said is absolutely right. Your drawing talent, you can practice on a notepad and like drawing paper and stuff. I know it's not the sexiest way of doing it, and I'm sure, you know, that once you make things on the iPad and stuff, they do look more, I'm sure you can like simulate all kinds of mediums with that, right?
That's kind of
the appeal there.
But I know there's a certain freshness and crispness that it looks so good. And then you're just it's right into a PNG and it's super sharp. You could choose your paper now on what paper you want it to be drawing on the iPad. It's sexy. I get it. But like if he spends that money, he's got nothing to learn the talent and improve himself. Whereas if he has a small, cheap tablet and everything he's already got, he's getting both, I think, with that option. That's why I'm just saying that.
Yeah.
Then he'll come later.
And I also don't think you need to start. And by the way, Chris, I don't know where you're coming from now. I don't know if you've already been at this and you're just trying to get to a new level or if you're a complete novice.
Oh, that's true.
But I don't.
That's true.
I think if it's the latter and you're kind of more just really getting your feet wet now, I wouldn't even bother learning from experts yet. Get the basics. Go on Skillshare or whatever. Even you know, if you want to go on YouTube, I'm sure there's stuff on there. Just learn the basics with paper until you get to a level where it's kind of warranted, if that makes sense.
Yeah, then you're not. Yeah, then you've given it a good, valid test drive.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
I wouldn't want to go learn from, like, I don't know who the celebrity illustrators are, but I wouldn't necessarily be ready to learn from them yet.
Yeah. I hope that helps. I mean, I really think it depends on that level of where you are as an illustrator now. It sounds like you're very beginner intermediate.
But I've been trying to answer and think about this question, assuming that his proficiency is there. He's got it.
If he does, then, oh my gosh, maybe just go for the pad and, you know, draw away. I don't know.
Yeah, go for it. That's what I think. Well,
I think we're going to just have to go out to Memphis, grab some beers, and talk about
this. And some barbecue. I'm with you.
I'll get a veggie burger. As long as you got a veggie burger on that menu, I'll be there.
Yeah. All right. Cool, Chris. Thanks for sending that in. And you have our blessing to
and
to
he had
go
a really sexy voice.
And buy your iPad. All right. So we've got our last official question here, and maybe we've got some Instagram ones after that. And this one is from Paterka. So let's go ahead and roll that audio.
Hey, Deeply Graphic. I had a question about portfolio content and rejected works. I have a really awesome example of my work that was unfortunately rejected by the client for that particular project. Is it kosher to share that in my portfolio? Do I need to include that in my service agreement? Thanks so much.
All right, Paterka, thanks for sending that in. Yeah, we've covered this before. A few people have asked this maybe a while back. But in terms of using either rejected work or student work or self-guided work, anything like that, I think we all feel the same on this, and that is, as long as you designed it, you can use it in your portfolio. You haven't stolen it. But I guess the meatier question then, and I don't remember where you guys come down on this, about disclosing it. Like if you're going to a job interview or something, or let's just say it's on your website, you're not talking about it at all. It's just there. Do you say this is an unused concept or student work? What do you guys think?
Wow. Good question. I know we talked about it a little bit before. I think it's safer to be truthful and tell the, and just put it out there in a credit or in an area of that paragraph or on your website, just so it's there and that you never were trying to say anything otherwise. Right.
Yeah.
And if you're asked,
but if I can quote George Costanza, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Yes, that's true.
So but, there you go.
unused or even passion project stuff is the number one thing I think people say they're okay with seeing and actually want to see now more than ever, because it shows what you would do when you're completely in control and in charge. Mm-hmm. So she might even find that it might be cool to almost like revamp it if it's an unused one and exploding it to something bigger and better to make a great case study. Who cares if it wasn't used or not? It's still showing off your talent, you know? So I would be totally open with it and say that.
Yeah.
Because if the minute you say it was used and then someone finds out it wasn't, you never want to be caught in that. And again, it just shows that you were the art director as well as the designer, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know that it's even necessary to call it out. Maybe if someone asks you about it or something, or if it's in your on your website, yeah, I mean, maybe I would just have a little caption that says,
yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel the need to go out of my way otherwise.
Yeah.
I'll give you a good example. I have a previous student of mine who's been out for about 2 years from his graduation, working a job, wants to get into sports graphic design. Like his goal was like ESPN. He started doing passion projects and saying right on LinkedIn, I'm doing this for fun. I really want to get into this. He developed quite a little following. And believe it or not, he texted me yesterday. He has an interview at ESPN magazine today, like based on just the sports stuff that he put out there, all passion projects, all completely done by him and very open about it. But it was killer work. And he's like, he got a little buzz going. So it's like, I think people are looking for that more now than ever. And just if, like you said, Wes, if it's your work, it's your work. If you designed it, you designed it. Like, get it out there. Don't worry about it.
You will run into, not maybe you won't, but I did. I remember just this, when I was really new and just starting out, there was this total douchebag designer that was like, he was like kind of trying to get me a job at his company, but not really.
Yeah.
And my portfolio was just full of that kind of stuff. And he's like, don't put just your own stuff in here. That's not really going to cut it. Like, there are some people that will look down their nose on that, but that's not the majority of people. Those are self-important.
Number one, that's like the last person you want to work for or with is that 100%. Yeah. So there's your red flag.
It's the same people that wear the Canada Goose jackets once they made it inside the bar. They just want people to see the patch.
even though this is, we're talking changes in like the last 2 or 3 years, what people want to see. And I think more than anything, like next week is portfolio review. We have like 50 designers coming to meet with every portfolio student. The number one thing they say is, we love when students do their own work. We love when they show us a little side of what they truly can do, not limited by a client or by a business or a job. So I think it's very fresh that people are asking for this and wanting to see it. So I would say it proudly and be like, I did this. I even expanded even more.
Yeah. See, did this all by myself.
Take it in. Yeah.
All right. Cool, Paterka. Thanks for sending that in. And as luck would have it, we have two questions from Instagram. So Trisha Martin, 23, says, what's your process of making a website? I think that one's for Nick.
Yes. All right.
I don't.
I go to Wix. Take it, man.
All right. So, well, and Mikkel, we can. Do you have an answer for that, Mikkel? Do you have a process that you usually use?
I can piggyback on whatever you okay. Go ahead.
Well, because mine has totally changed.
Yeah.
I think I've been talking about it the last few episodes. I just use WordPress and Elementor now. Between Elementor and like they've got some extra thing. Like I use Elementor Pro, and there's like an ultimate add-ons package you can buy as well. And I just buy like the multi-site license, so I can use all my tools on all my client websites. So it's the WordPress with the Astra theme, the free one. Then you load up Elementor Pro, and you'd be amazed the different things you can build. Don't have enough Photoshop or XD and make a static mock-up. I'm just building the site and seeing how it interacts in real time. It's great. And I can't believe this kind of thing been perfected sooner. But yeah, that's my new process. So what I do specifically is I will design the homepage and myself, and I'll get it approved. And then from there, I've only done, I think, 3 sites so far. And starting now on the one I'm doing now, I'm going to have my developer, who also knows Elementor and has a fairly good design eye, I'm going to have him build all the other pages based on the homepage, based on, you know, just take those styles and everything and now go to work on the rest of them. And they will all be built in real time and without having to convert static images into a working website. So what about you, Mikkel?
Well, I'm still, I still utilize Sketch to its robust capabilities, and I only mock up one phase and then I send it to developer that utilizes Elementor himself, and he just tweaks with revisions from that point forward. So
cool.
And you know what, it depends on the developers, but he will slice and dice himself. I won't have to go into web ready production phase myself. So he's pretty savvy. And, you know, it really is dependent on their skill set, I guess.
Yes.
I work with a number of developers, and sometimes I'm the one that is in production phase far more than he or she, and other times I'm not. So it just kind of, depends on a number of factors. But I love being able to provide sketch prototypes of sorts to the client at early design phase, schematic phasing. So, I guess my process is similar to yours without designing in real time with Elementor. I do the conceptual phase of a bit at the forefront first within.
Okay.
What are you guys even talking about?
Oh, and the other thing that's kind of... yeah. And sorry to gush about Elementor.
No,
you're
fine.
The other thing that it's super cool is they've added these new motion effects that you could easily go overboard with them, but they give you like, they let you do these really cool kind of parallax effects.
Cool.
With just no effort. You know, the load speeds aren't crazy, and they let you, it's so easy to go from a desktop view to responsive. Just the click of a button, and then you just make the necessary tweaks on mobile, and you've got a completely responsive site. I can't say enough good about them. So, and it's only going to get better.
Nice.
Okay, so next question is from Octane Designs, and they say, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl, what are some basic ways you stay fresh on top of your skill sets?
Skill sets.
Or skill set, if you only have one, Nick. It's okay. Some people only have one.
I just got one. staying fresh. Damn, you know, like for me, because branding and packaging is like big time, I'd be honest with you, sometimes just a walk in freaking Target is enough inspiration for me to be like, what the? God, there's so much great work out there. And I think it's good to figure out how to keep up with it, what you're seeing, what works, what doesn't work. Like, that's one way. Mm-hmm. And then number two is like on the business side, I think it's just, every once in a while reaching out to somebody that you want to work for. I think that's keeping it kind of, you know, ever-changing, and it makes you a little nervous sometimes to go out there. And I think that's always good to kind of hit that skill level and get better there and keep fresh on how you're approaching and pitching your business. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's like there's so much out there to kind of see and do and work for. Someone even asked the other day, like, they're like, is this really a viable, you know, industry now to get in? I'm like, there's so much freaking work. We just got to find it. And staying fresh, I think it's a great way to put it, is one of the ways I think it keeps being successful. Yeah. You know, change it up. Don't get stuck in a rut. You know,
don't ever think you know everything and have nowhere else to.
That's 100%. You know. Yeah.
I love 100%. Your little Target example. That's awesome. I'm more of a Walmart. I have that. Whether person, we realize but... it at the time or not, you know what I mean?
They get design there, and their buyers push it amongst all the people all the products they buy. Yeah. And it's in displays now. It's in Target's brands, the brands that they own. Like, it's like they look just as good as the real brands. So it's like, it's so inspiring to go in there and see like what people, the amount of importance that design has even in what you would call a, you know, discount or everyday store. Mm-hmm. I love that. So it's hitting every element.
Nice. Mikkel?
How do you stay fresh, girl?
So what really has helped me, this is embarrassing to admit, but I'm going to admit it anyway. I didn't start listening to podcasts until recently.
Design podcasts. Yeah.
Oh, I've been like a huge nerd forever in podcasts. But
have you? Yeah. So because here I've been co-hosting with you guys. So that's why it's a little embarrassing.
Thought we were the only one. And so you went.
Well, I can't. Well, gosh, no, never. But, you know, sometimes I think, oh, the last thing I need is more design while I'm designing. You know, it's just too cloggish up there in the brain. So I'll pick my favorite artist of the day to get my mind to just go anywhere as I'm concepting. But within the past 6 months or so, I've been listening to podcasts, and it'll get me inspired for whatever guest. The podcasts that I've been listening to, I'll constantly have guests on their shows. Yeah. So I'll go to their following, and I'll see the artwork that they're rendering, and it inspires me to shift my approach with an existing project that I'm on even.
Yeah.
And to start applying that inspiration straight away. So that feels good.
Yeah.
You know, I love that. It's interesting. You kind of get stuck in a rut without even recognizing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing inspires me more than discovering a new artist, someone out there that might have been put in the spotlight. Great. And you're like, damn, there's a game changer, and everyone's going to be copying that in 5 years. I want to copy them now. No, I'm just kidding. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
Nice.
What about you, Wes?
Well, podcast.
How are you keeping fresh?
Yeah, so in several areas. So podcast, like most of what I do is not even super design related anymore. It's more about the strategy and the social stuff. So podcasts are great for that. I like to keep up on what's latest in like Facebook ads and just digital marketing. All that kind of stuff, as well as, so like for visual stuff, if I'm doing a website and I want to get some inspiration for it, I'll look at sites like awards.com with 3 W's in it. Keeping in mind that, most of those websites are kind of like design agency, can't even use them. They're weird navigation, but you can still find interesting visuals on them. And I'll look at a lot of roundup lists. I'll look at, believe it or not, like Instagram and Instagram ads show you a lot about what's happening in the moment, which is cool to know.
Yeah.
And then, you go from there. You don't want to get too trendy, obviously, unless it is an ad that's meant just to live and die today. But I just look everywhere online, and I get kind of ADD when I do it. It's hard to I'll go down rabbit holes basically, but until I find a few things that I'm inspired by enough to kind of take them and have them in my head and go forth and create something new.
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
And fresh.
Exactly. And I do believe that is all we got from Instagram. So thank you, Octane Designs and Trisha Martin.
I have to go.
Yeah, me too. Go. And with that in mind, keep designing. Catch us next time on the Deeply Graphic Design Cast.